Let me say good morning to everyone. I was asked to lead in this manner, to look at what, well, we have learned about it already, but nevertheless to look at part of it, what the children of Issachar understood, and what is the parallel to us today. What is the parallel to us today? Now, we have some handout, but they are just enough for our visiting brethren. And those of our local brethren, later on you can get your handout. What is there is just enough for our visiting brethren. Let us look back at that scripture in 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 32. 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 32, it says, "And of the children of Issachar, who were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do." So these men, children of Issachar, they had understanding of the times. And they know what the whole nation of Israel, they knew what the whole nation of Israel should do. Why is that so? When King Saul disobeyed the word of God, the Lord rejected him from being king. And as you have heard, he was not removed from his kingship physically. He was not removed, but the Lord had rejected him. And at the same time, the Lord sent the prophet Samuel to Bethlehem to anoint the next king of Israel. And as we have heard, David, who was anointed the next king of Israel, after he was anointed, he demonstrated to Israel leadership quality. And the first one was when he met with the champion of the Philistine. Here it was, this champion came out. It was a number of days he came out, and he asked Israel to send forth their champion. None of the trained soldiers was brave enough to go against this Goliath. Saul, who we are told, was head and shoulder over most of the other soldiers. He was about 7 feet, 7+ feet. He himself was not brave enough to stand against the Philistine. Why? The Lord had already rejected him. But it was this youthful person, David in his teens, he came at the battlefield and he heard the Philistine came out and speak ill of the God of Israel. And he said to those around him, "I can go out to fight him. And so David went forth. You remember that Saul gave David his armor, his sword and so forth. David said, "I can't use this. I haven't tested these things." He used what he accustomed to, the sling and the stone. And that day, he won the battle for the children of Israel. He defeated Goliath of Gath. So this was a clear indication that the Lord was using him, of his leadership, When no other can stand, he went and stood for his people, for the Lord's people. The second one I want to mention here is that after he won the battle, we are told that the women from the cities came out and began to sing his praises. They began to sing his praises. David has killed his 10,000 and Saul his 1,000. Yes, it's a sign of leadership. And it's a sign of leadership. People look to you and praise you. You know, the sign of leadership. And the third one I want to mention that we heard is that he behaved himself wisely. The word of God speaks three times about it. David behaved himself wisely. And he was set apart because of that. There is none among Saul's servants who behaved himself as David. So I want to look at these three. These three indication that the children of Israel had that this was the man that the Lord had chosen to be the next king of Israel. And the children of Issachar, they understood that. Now, after the death of Saul, David, he was of the tribe of Judah. They made him king over them. He was anointed king over them. But for 7.5 years, the children of Israel did not recognize him as the king. They did not recognize his leadership. And that is what the children of Issachar had recognized. That Israel must anoint this man as their king. You know, they understood the times that they were living in. They saw the leadership quality in this man. This youth. David was in his teens. It took them 7.5 years for them to recognize that. 7.5 years for them to recognize it. Now, we are told that after Saul died, during those 7.5 years, there was conflict between the followers of David and the followers of Saul's son. And we are told that the general of the followers of Saul's son, Abner, he also recognized that David is the chosen one. And he went to David and he pledged his allegiance to David. But sad to say, he did not live a day after that. If we know the story, he didn't live a day after that. But he recognized that this is the man who should lead Israel. And he went and he pledged his support to David. Now, what is the similarity do we have when we look at the case of David to be leader over Israel, and that the children of Issachar, they had the understanding of the time. What to be done? What is to be done? We today, do we have an understanding of the time that we are living in? And what is to be done? Do we have that understanding? Now, like in the case of David, David has shown leadership quality. Now for us today, the church, you know, what have we seen in the Word of God that tells us about the time that we are living in? And there are many indicators. I want to say that there are many indicators, but I want to mention three prominent indicators in the Word of God that tell us about the time that we are living in and what we are to do and what we ought to do. The first one, if you look at the scripture in Luke 21, in the book of Luke 21, in Luke 21, the Lord was responding to his disciples' requests when the Lord told them about future events of the temple. They said to the Lord, tell us of your coming and of the end of the world. And the Lord gave a number of signs to his disciples. And the one that I like us to, one of them I like us to look at here, it's Luke 21 and from verse 29. It says here, and he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own self that summer is now nigh at hand. Summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. The summer that is nigh is the kingdom of God. And verse 32 says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. What is the parable saying to us? When the Lord speak of the fig tree, he was speaking of Israel. Israel, for about 2,000 years, they were not a nation. And he was speaking of Israel when it began to bud, it speaks of Israel becoming a nation again. And you know, when I read, I remember some time ago when I read this scripture, it speaks not only for Israel becoming a nation, but it says, and all the other trees. When I looked, did a research, and I found out in the last century, Israel became a nation in 1948. There are 191 nations in the world. And the majority of them became a nation in the last century, including us, St. Vincent. Yeah, the majority of them. So here the Lord is saying, the fig tree and all the other trees, he's speaking of it, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own self that summer is nigh. So when Israel became a nation, it was like the key put into the door for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. See and know of your own self that summer is nigh. The kingdom of God is nigh at hand. It is now what? 60 plus years since Israel is a nation. And the word of God says when it leaves our tender, when Israel leaves our tender, that's the time the Lord will come. That's the time the Lord will come and set up the kingdom for his father. Set up the kingdom for his father. So this is an indicator to us of the times we are living in. From the time Israel became a nation, the church should be looking forward that for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that the coming of Jesus Christ for us, the church, will take place 7 years before he comes to reign, to set up the kingdom for his father. So how much more should we, the church, be looking for the coming of Jesus Christ? And he went on to say, this generation shall not pass away. And considering what other brothers had to say about that, and if I should go along with them, it means that the coming of Jesus Christ to set up his kingdom, there will be those who were living at the time when Israel became a nation. And when Jesus returns now to set up his kingdom, out of that generation, there will still be a few folks who will see. They will see Israel become a nation, and they will see the Lord return to set up his kingdom. He says, this generation shall not pass away until all be fulfilled. What that means, if we look at time period, how much time we are given to live? 70 years plus. It's now 60 plus years since Israel became a nation. It tells us that the coming of the Lord is near at hand. And as one brother will say, it is just minutes away. We are in the 11th hour, minutes away. The coming of the Lord is near at hand. The other example that I will look from scripture that tells us of the coming of the Lord is the last stage of the church. In the book of Revelation, we are given In the book of Revelation, we are given seven stages of the church. And the last stage is the Laodicean stage. And we notice it is the stage where the church is at its worst stage. Worst stage is the stage of the worst stage. And we only have to look around and we see it is true. The church is at its last stage. The third one, the day of Lot. The Lord said to his own, as a sign of his coming, he says, as it was in the days of Lot, so it will be at my coming. What it was in the days of Lot, that it will be at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was their lifestyle, homosexual lifestyle. And beloved, just in the last few years, this was unfolding, began unfolding before our eyes. A lifestyle that was once a crime in most, if not all, countries is now gradually being removed from being a crime and now being legalized. Same-sex marriage is being honored now in a number of states in the United States and a number of countries abroad. Is it not the fulfillment of what the Lord has said about this coming? He said, at this coming, this will be the lifestyle. And it is here with us. How close is the coming of the Lord? So like the children of Israel, the church ought to recognize that the coming of the Lord is nigh. Why? Because of these indicators that the Lord has given to the church. Because of these indicators that the Lord has given to the church. But the word of God tells us, the Lord himself tells us, at his coming, the church will be sleeping. The parable of the 10 virgins. Not only the foolish virgin was sleeping, but we're told the wise one was sleeping. The wise one was sleeping. Therefore, the Apostle Paul in Romans said, it is high time that you awake out of sleep, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. And in Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul, speaking to the Thessalonians, saying, he said, let us not sleep. Because the church is generally asleep. They won't recognize that. He says to Thessalonians, say, let us not sleep as do others, but let us what? Watch and be sober. The children of Issachar, they knew the times that they were living in, and they knew what Israel should do. In our time, we should know the times that we're living in and what we should do. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, in that chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says, the time and the season. He says, I don't have the need to explain to you. You know well what the time and the season is. We are living at a time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we should do? The word of God says, watch and pray. But if you're sleeping, you cannot watch. That's why the Lord said to the saints in Thessalonica, do not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. So, like the children of Issachar, we, the church, ought to know the time we're living in, that the coming of the Lord is nigh at hand, and we should be watching and praying. That's what we should be doing. We should have that understanding and do these things. Watch and pray. And I think from here on, we will open up for brothers now to give their part.
What do you really want to highlight here is verse 33 and verse 38. Now, verse 33 say, of Zebulun such as went forth to battle, export was with all instruments of war. No, verse 32, sorry, verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Now, we see here that you had mighty men of valor, men that were famous and so on in battle. And that is very important. But I mean, if one is strong and you know, you can fight and so on and you don't have understanding, that is another problem. Okay? So you had these men in verse 32, children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Now today, in the church, you know, we have people, men and women with different gifts. That is very good. But what is very important in the gift is to understand what, you know, how to use the gift that God give to every one of us. You know, we live in a time when we have, you know, this education revolution, and we see where people are being advanced academically. And sometimes, you know, what one does is that, you know, they place their learning above the word of the Lord. And I want to say that it's only when we, as Christians, humble ourselves and read the word of the Lord and allow the Spirit of God to lead us, then we are able to have understanding. Then we are able to understand as Christians how we are to live and so on. Another verse 38, and all, verse 38, all these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. So we see these men, they had understanding, verse 33, of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, exporting war with all instrument of war, 50,000 which could keep rank. They were not of double heart. You see? So what we need today in the church is understanding what the Spirit of God will say to us, how He lead us. And number two, we need to be of one heart. And that could only be when we submit ourselves to the teachings and the authority of the word of the Lord. Thank you.
Understanding the times and the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like us to look at four portions from the Word of God, and without any comments, and in the hope that we will be able to expand further. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. And I want us to look at the things that we ought to do. This is only one. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. And we have been exhorted to pray, watch and pray. And here is one of the things that we are to pray for. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. It is his harvest. The second portion is found in Mark chapter 4. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 26. Says here, so the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and raise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of itself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the air. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth forth the sickle, because the harvest is come. It's our responsibility to sow the word and wait upon the Lord for germination and for growth. But it's the responsibility of every one of us as servants to be alert to the harvest, because as a farmer, and those among us who are farmers, we would know that if we are not alert to the harvest, the entire harvest could be lost. Could be lost. So, we have to be alert. Alert to the harvest of souls. John's Gospel, chapter 4, very well known portion. It's telling us that it's later than we think. Verse 35. Say naughty. There are yet 4 months. Don't say there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. It is later than we think. And if we understand the times, then we would see that this is where the interest of the Lord Jesus is, our Lord. Souls, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. That's all the Lord is interested in, the souls of men and the ministry to the saints. And finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 5. Verse 5. 1 Corinthians 3, 5. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom we believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Here we see, when the Lord is Lord of the harvest, it matters not who does what. We are not called to compare one another's work or to compete against one another, but to work for the Lord, who alone judges the work and who would reward us in due time. Amen.
I just want us to have a right perspective of what we are looking at. The portion that we have taken, the theme we have picked up, having understanding of the times, very appropriate. But really, if we follow scripture in light of the teachings, it's not the time where the Lord Jesus comes out and be acknowledged by all. This is the time where the Lord Jesus is rejected. They sent him out of here. We will not have this man to reign over us. But then we, the assembly, recognize him as Lord. So we are going through this world now following a rejected king. That's in relation to Israel. For us is Lord. He is rejected. He is despised. He is disowned. And they send him back to heaven. Now we are left here. We are left here to represent him in the scene where he was despised and crucified and sent out. But he is going to be manifested in a day to come. So brethren, if we are going down the line, we have to go down the line, two lines. The day of his rejection and this day in which all acknowledge, all the tribes, that he is king. The world will own him in a day to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we right now, if we are not waiting for that day, we are showing that we are subject now to him. He is Lord. So we got to recognize, beloved brethren, the lawlessness in the world. Yes, the homosexuality. Hey, we cannot stop it. The fornication, if we decide not to live with them, we have to go out of the world. Okay? We will have the fornicators, we'll have the arousers, and he says in First Corinthians, such were some of you, but you have been washed, you have been cleansed. We have come under the Lordship of Christ. So now I don't have to wait until things are put right by him for me now to wait until he put me right. I am being put right now because he's Lord. And this is what we need to recognize as saints, that Jesus Christ is Lord. The world may not recognize it. They don't know he is their Lord, but he is our Lord. And I want to walk in the good of that truth now. But because we stand with him now, in a day to come, we are going to be manifested with him, for the things we have done now is going to be rewarded. So David had his mighty men. And they were, when David came into his kingship, they were given position. Saints, it's difficult days we are living in. Our king is on the throne. He is not deposed. He's on the throne. And if we walk in the light of that knowledge, we are going through here as strangers and pilgrims on this earth. This world is not our home. And most of us in here have been baptized. When we get baptized, you know what we were saying? We were saying, you are Lord. I've finished with this world. I bury myself. And now I'm going to walk through this world confessing you as Lord. And this is the present effect of the Lordship of Christ should have upon me. That I want to emphasize it, brethren. We have no rights. It has been completely given up. And here, we should be conscious, like Judah, saying, you are king. And give him that rightful place.
Brethren, may I just make a comment on the Christian position in the times in which we live, acknowledging that we are living in the times of the rejection of the Lord. I just read a few scriptures and make one quick comment. I go to the book of Revelation, last chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. Then in verse 20, surely, I come quickly. We go to the book of Hebrews. And read in chapter 10, verse 37. Hebrews 10, verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. And finally, the example of those at Thessalonica in chapter 1. The record of scripture is, they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his son from heaven. May I suggest to us, brethren, that it is not world events which color our position in the world. As we have understanding of the times, we hear the voice of the Lord Jesus saying, behold, I come quickly. The Thessalonians embraced that truth, and they were expecting him to come at any time. And may suggest to us that the Christian position in this age, the Christian position is waiting for the Lord from heaven.
Yes, I got two perspectives as to what we should be doing. I hear coming out that we would be sleeping, and I see coming out one said that we should be harvesting. I remember in a Bible study that it was said that we have to accept the condition that we are in because it's the last days and that's how it would be. I need clarity on what the church, the members of the church should actually be doing, having understood the times in which we live.
Just want to mention here that when the scriptures say watch and pray, watching means many things, and as mentioned earlier on, it means to preach the word of God. That's one of the things that we ought to do. But let us turn to the first epistle of John chapter 3. First epistle of John chapter 3. First epistle of John chapter 3 and verse 1. First epistle of John chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, beloved, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And verse 3 says, and every man that had this hope in him purified himself even as he is pure. It means that If we are looking forward for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will live that life for Him. We will live that life for Him. That's what it means to be watching. Live for Him, to live for Him. You know, that He will be the Lord of our life as we live day by day. Thank you.
Just like to make a few quick remarks from the passage that our brother Mac read, and earlier brother Adams. I suggest that first we need to be clear. Let's not assume that we are men of understanding. It says the sons of Issachar, that there were those of the sons of Issachar who were men of understanding. They knew the times, what Israel ought to do. And that the brethren were at their command. They could lead them. They could guide them. They were those who would keep right. They were those who would go to war. But let us recognize, beloved, that even if we feel we lack that wisdom, that understanding for this moment, the book of James tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God and give it to all men. And none of us are left out of that word, all men. Liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But we've already been told it must be by faith, Habakkuk. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that doubteth is like the wave of the sea tossed and driven with the wind to and fro. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Beloved, let us first not assume we have that understanding, every understanding we need. But let us ask of God that we might become today, through this weekend, men of understanding. And these verses that Brother Mac read are so important. The blessedness of the first verse 7 of chapter 22 of Revelation. It is blessed. It says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. This is what we need to be doing, beloved. Getting into the book. And through that word, we receive that wisdom from God. From the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true Joseph. The one revealer of secrets. We will become men of understanding if we take up this book and keep it. And keep our eyes waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. The second verse Brother Mac read was not only in relation to the word, but now in relation to the work, which is the direction of Brother Adams is going to. It says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. As we know the time the Lord Jesus is coming, let us spend time in the Word for that wisdom to become men of understanding. And as we understand the Word, let us follow through with the work. As 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And thirdly, the verse that Brother Mac ended with, In verse 20 of chapter 22 of Revelation, it's simply an expression of worship. He that testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. And the response says, amen. May the awaiting of the Lord Jesus, his coming, stir in our hearts, as Brother Earl read it from First John 3, a response, a moral response. Everyone that has this hope in him respond morally. May God help us truly to be men of understanding, men who are ready for the warfare of Chronicles, for the work that we have before us, and for the worship and the waiting of our blessed Lord.
To add those thoughts, and as we look at the portion that we are considering, and it is so precious, but I would just like to somewhat just showing that follow-up in that our focus is to be on Christ. Yes, we are drawing the parallel of the children of Israel, but I just want to lift up one thought from that. It was where, when you look at the portion, it doesn't start in chapter 12. It starts from chapter 10, where David, the beloved, is given the place that God had anointed him to. As we heard this morning, that took place many, many years. But then it was the time of his rejection. And the focus is that it's the time for the Son of the Father to be given his rightful place, to be glorified in the midst of his own, and to be accepted. And this, we know, as Brother Brian indicated, the full blaze of it is a day to come. But the owning of it and the livingly setting forth of it, it is now. It is a time of the Lord's rejection, yes. But his own are to own him as the one who have all rights and authority in their lives. And I want to just lift out just this expression that was coming out in chapter 12. Because this is something as well which is to characterize our response. And that is one of allegiance. That is one of allegiance. And we have it coming out in David's Mighty Man, where David would say to them, listen, from verse 17, and David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if ye come out peaceably unto me to help me, and my heart shall be knit unto you. Then verse 18, thine we are, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. And in verse 22, from that time, day by day, they came to David to help him. And it was as a great host, like the host of the Lord. And in the latter part of verse 40 says, for there was joy in Israel. They exhibited an allegiance to David. We saw it in his Mighty Man. David said, oh, that I would have one of the drinks of the water which was the well by Jerusalem. And what did they do? They went out complete allegiance to him to get that. And then to answer the question and to follow up on what was said in Luke 19, we have the Lord who would give the parable because they were going to go and make him king. And he says, what the kingdom of heaven like unto man. Let me just read that narrative. And as they heard, verse 11, these things he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered to them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. The two things coming out there. It's a day of his rejection, but nonetheless, it is not time for him to be glorified as king as yet. But look at his words to his servants, occupy till I come. Trade. That which we have gleaned through the scriptures, that which we have owned, we are to be like the Apostle Paul, who saw himself as a debtor. Having what people need and ensuring because of our allegiance and our love for the one, though in rejection, we own as the beloved of the Father to do his bidding, occupying, trading until he comes.
Station that he will bring. So meantime, while the Lord has been rejected, while the Lord is away, the absent king, so to speak, it is for me to recognize that he will compensate for anything that I have suffered during his absence. Now, what is the time in which we live? We have several expressions already to help us to understand it. But in 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 1, while he yet kept himself close, because of Saul, the son of Kish. That is a description of the time in which we're living. The Lord Jesus, seen in David, rejected. He had to keep himself close. And that is the kind of time in which we're living. People are doing as they like. They're opposing everything that God has established. The word of God, they have rejected that. Christ himself, They have rejected him. They are saying in their hearts, we will not have this man to reign over us. Listen, you find a chap who, in spite of the fact that the scriptures say, listen, it is a shame for a man to have long hair. You find a person, a man, wearing long hair. That is a statement that that person is making. We will not have this man to reign over us. So how should we respond? We must be yet more faithful and yet more true to the word of God in this time of Christ's rejection.
And I appreciate, brethren, the line that we are on. Because the line we are on is, we are in 2 Timothy times. Okay? We are not in 1 Timothy times. In 1 Timothy, it was collective faithfulness. We are in the days of individual faithfulness. Don't look for your neighbor to be faithful. You look for yourself to be faithful. To be faithful to your Lord. And in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul was writing to this young man. The Apostle Paul is incarcerated. He's in jail for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he's saying to Timothy in chapter 1, greatly, verse 4, greatly designed to see thee, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I remember, when I call to remembrance your unfeigned or genuine faith, that is in thee, which dwell first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Verse 8. He said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. This is the days in which we are living. We are living in days where, as Dave have said, the authority of God's word is thrown through the window. That's what you say. That's how you see it. But the fact remains that the word of God remains the word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. Christ is still Lord in spite of how men behave. So the answer is that at this time, I must come to the consciousness it's not the time to reign with Christ. Now is the time to suffer with him. And they that suffer with him shall reign with him. The sufferings of this life is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The Apostle Paul called it light afflictions, but it work in an eternal weight of glory. So now is the suffering time. And Peter, who answers also this time, says, listen, the trial of our faith is more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire. Saints, we are going to go through some things that you will say, where is God? You know, what happened? He abandoned us? This is the time. This is a time where, as was made mention, Christians have to stand for the word and for Christ. If not, I tell you, who you think is going to stand? So Timothy, 2 Timothy, and he says, commit thou to faithful men who are able to teach others also. Since it's a great house, all kind of thing happening in Christianity. The mega churches, yeah, and all the Caribbean churches want to be like them. Yeah? T.D. Jakes and Dollard and Hagee. These are men we listen to in the Caribbean. In America, nobody know them. They don't always have listened to them. But the fact is that they filter these things down to the Caribbean. And we believe this is the truth of God. Yes, they shall be judged by the light they had. But when God has given us more light, what are we supposed to do? Brethren, we have to walk according to the light that we have. And what is happening? We like Israel, we want to be like the others. We see what the others are doing and says why we can't do it here. This is the guide. This is the standard. And we are not waiting, as we say, for the undertaker saints. We are waiting for the uppertaker. We are waiting for the coming of the Lord. So the events will come, they will go. But hey, let's keep our eyes that the path for us, we are not only called to believe, we are called to suffer for his name's sake. Brethren, we don't want that path. We want the easy road. But thank God, the Lord is showing to us the sufferings that our brethren are going through, and they stand up for Christ, believe in the Caribbean, the place of liberty. Just now, God might raise up some crooked politician who is going to stop this nonsense preaching on the street, and teaching, having devotions in schools. This thing has to stop. Then I have to realize the day in which we live. It has not hit us yet. But since the day we are living in, the Lord Jesus has been rejected, your Lord. And you are saying, I have enthroned him in my heart, and I want to show I am subject to another king. They said, we have no king but Caesar. If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. I tell you, some of us embrace the politician more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.
I
just like to mention something that is old, and that is happening in the book of Genesis. Noah was living in a time when he was not popular. Noah wasn't popular when God told him to build the ark. We might talk a lot of good things about Noah, and he sung famous in the end of it all. But to be a man, hearing God say, build an ark, there was no water around, and he had to get his men to bring wood and construct the ark exactly as God says. People around were telling Noah, what happened to you? You're crazy. And Noah went about and he did what God said. And he saved at least his family. His family was saved. Everybody else died. We as a family of God, or we as a people of God, if we follow what God says, and we don't listen to the flares and glamour around us, we would save something valuable among us. We will save the fellowship. We will save the testimony. Let us consider these things in these times. And sometimes you say, why you love talk about people outside there? Those are the people who are talking to us and are influencing us in many ways. If a man has to own a jet cost $20 million, own his own airport, $60 million a jet. He has his own airport and everything else, his own ranch and everything. And these people are people who are leading thousands and saying what to do. Now, it is presenting a sort of kingdom here and out in the time when we should be prepared to suffer for Christ. Let us consider what is going on around us. And like Noah, in Genesis 6, he followed the eyes of the Lord. And Noah does what God says. He built the ark. Let us build the ark that God asked us to build. I'm just saying that in a way that we can understand. Let us listen to what he said in the scriptures. The doctrine that are here for us. I came in here as a little boy at 15. Before that, I went to a place called Chapman's and I saw a little building and I asked, what is that? They say, it's a church named Save Soul. And I laugh. I said, Save Soul? And the building didn't look like anything significant. Lo and behold, I was part of that fellowship not long after. The years I had among us as brethren, I'm not here because of the flare and the all other things that happened around us. I was in camp for many years. But what kept me and what is deep down in my soul, the teachings that I've gotten over the years, should I throw them away because of what happened around us? No, my brothers and sisters. Let us listen, continue to listen to what God says. Thank you.
I just want to say that when Brother Brian read from 2 Timothy chapter 1, he didn't mention verse 7. I think it is very relevant and important to all that we are saying today. Verse 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 1 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear or of cowardice, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now in the sons of Issachar, we have a picture of the latter, the sound mind, the wise discretion. But I believe that if we trace, as was pointed out to us, the other chapters and verses, we can probably find the other two coming out as well. The power and the love. The power could be seen in the men of valor who could fight the wars and win the victories. The love would be seen in the devotion and the affection that these men showed to David, as the example was given of those who would break through the line of the Philistines. David only had to express his desire and for water. He did not command them to do it, but his desire, his wish became their command. That was a sign of their affections for the Lord. So there's the matter of allegiance, as was pointed out, but there's a matter of our affections for the Lord. But it is God who gives all three. The power. This power here, the word for power here, is the word that means that is connected with dynamite power. And you think of various forms of it. Today, the nuclear power and so on. Secondly, the word love tells of the love of God, that agape love, a love that transcends, that goes beyond and above the very objects of that love, in spite of the fact that they are not worthy. And of course, the sound mind. That's the wisdom of God. The three things we see throughout scripture, wisdom, love, and power. In the book of 1 Corinthians, we have the three coming out. Chapter 13. In chapter 12, the power. But it is the power that is generated by the Holy Spirit. In chapter 13 is the love chapter. In chapter 14, we get the wisdom for the direction of the assembly. But I want to say that it first has to be directed towards our Lord Jesus. And then it will be directed towards one another and the world. So it is that God has given us these things, beloved. This is not the wisdom of the world. This is not the power that the world offers, nor is it the love that the world talks about. It is God. God has given us it. Let us be positive about it, beloved. In our time, in the day of his rejection, that these resources are ours. Let us claim them.
Beloved, I am glad to be here. I'm glad to be here. And I want to take up on that question from the younger brother behind, that he asked a question, what should we be doing? What should we as Christians be doing? We took our chapter from a nation that is earthly, and we are a heavenly people, the part of the church. And the brother was asking, what should we be doing? I think that we are convinced from all the speakers that we know there is a falling away. A falling away as the word of God has predicted. Even in the time when the apostle wrote these epistles, inspired by the Spirit, he did warn his son that there were deceivers inside. And sometimes when I think about the times that we are in, and I look back to even a couple of years ago, we can plainly see that among God's people, there is a decline. There is a decline. I came into the assembly 1963. And it's a vast difference to today. Much has been shared in this room. And I challenge us that what we have been given, we would make use of it as children of God. It seemed to me that we are competing with the world. The Christian today is competing with the world. We have more trouble inside than outside. We see here that the children of Zebulun they kept ranks and they had one heart. I wish any one of us could stand up and make that boast today. We have all failed. We have all wandered. We are not keeping ranks with this blessed book. And we are not of one heart. The apostle did ask those at Corinth, you are going to judge the world, and now you have a small matter. You leave your brethren and go to the world to judge for you. Beloved, let us become sober. Haggai, call upon us to consider our ways. Five times the word of God call upon the Israelites to consider their ways. Today, what has been dished out here, when we leave this room, when we leave this conference, when we leave this thing on Monday, if we live that long, that we make use of what has been shared here. Because I know that food for thought has been shared here. I know that we have a challenge on our hands. Every single one of us have a challenge on our hands. And the Bible warns us that he that knoweth the will and doeth it not, shall be beaten with many stripes. Thank you.
The question was asked, and different aspects of the responses have been given. What should we do? We are gathered today as Caribbean Christians, Caribbean assemblies, some Caribbean islands are not represented. Many of us come as representative of our various assemblies. We are small. And as we look at ourselves and consider the day in which we live, the challenge will be, where do we go from here? Read with me a few verses from Acts chapter 4. Acts 4. Verse 23. Being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. And they prayed. Verse 27, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, they were gathered together against him. Verse 29, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. 31, and when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Where do we go? As I look at my assembly's condition in Guyana, as you evaluate yours where you are, what do we take from this conference as we consider the times in which we live? It's not the time of so much big things, but we are called upon to do something in the presence of opposition. It was a day where there was suffering and opposition. These were the stalwarts, the apostles. You know, when we look in 1 Chronicles 12, for some of the tribes, we only have the numbers of the leaders. 222. For some tribes, we have the full number of the soldiers. There the leaders were and the people followed. The sons of Issachar, 200 men, but their brethren followed them. All cannot be leaders. We need the humility to follow. We have problems, brethren, that every man wants to be a leader. And if you don't do what I think we should do, there is trouble. While we don't have the Sanballats, we have far too much wrestling and opposition from the ranks. The apostles went to their own company. There must be a place of solace. To whom shall they go? They went to their brethren. They went to their own company. Do I value that company?
They met to pray. They were seeking boldness and courage and power. Brethren, it's difficult for us to have that when 90%, 95% of our membership show up on Sunday morning and 25 or 40% show up at the prayer meeting. They went to pray and the saints were there to pray. What should we do? We who are representatives of our local gatherings, as we evaluate the condition realistically, let's refuse to accept as norm the fact that 25% or 40% of our brethren show up at the prayer meeting, that it's okay. Stir them up. Brethren, we must come to pray. If we don't pray, we will be powerless. They share the word of God. We cannot afford to have 50%, if that many, of the saints show up at ministry meeting and Bible reading, and we expect a strong assembly. They came and they could quote the word of God because they knew it. They turned to God, the source of power, and said, God, we don't want so much things. What we want, oh God, is power and boldness to speak the word. The apostles were going to do the preaching. My dear brother, my dear sister, you might just be able to give a tracts. Yes, you need courage to give a tracts, you know. But I may not be the preacher to stand by the roadside. I can walk with 12 tracts in my bag. I can walk with 4 tracts in my pocket and give 4 tracts out a day. That's almost 30 a week. If the local assembly is stimulated that each saint realize in this day of conflict, there is something that I can do, that we can do, that is not so difficult. Let us encourage one another. It's a day of conflict. And every man is not an evangelist. If Peter need power to preach, what about us? What do I need to give attracts? To give invitations out to people? We cannot be spectators any longer. We are all participants. May the Lord help us.
I come back again in my heart to the 3 verses that Brother Mac read in Revelation 22. Because they're so relevant again. But on the side now of what Brother David raised, the side of compensation. Could we go back again to those verses? In Revelation 22. And while we're turning, we remember the Lord Jehovah, God said to his people Israel in Deuteronomy, and that the statutes and judgment he gave them, this is your wisdom and this is your understanding. The times that we live in, dispensationally, we're living in the times of David and his rejection. We're not in the times of Solomon's reign. But there is, as the sons of Issachar, there's this compensation. Verse 7 of Revelation 22 is not only, behold, I come quickly. Yes, he is coming. The time of rejection, the time of waiting is going to come to an end shortly, sometime. And he's going to reign soon after. But blessed, this is the compensation, even now, blessed is he that keep of the sayings of the prophecies of this book. What we are being challenged about, beloved, is that as we keep this word, as we grapple with the word of God and enjoy it and embrace it and then keep it and submit ourselves to it, God himself, the Lord Jesus himself, will give a present compensation, a present blessing. And that part of that will be this wisdom and this understanding that we need. Secondly, verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward. This is the future compensation. However we look at it, beloved, we are the sons of Issachar. There is compensation for reading and keeping his word. There's compensation for getting involved in the work of the Acts 4, getting involved in the work that Brother Adams pointed out in the Matthew and 1 Corinthians 15, the last two verses. There is my reward, a personal reward for each one of us is with me to give every man. Beloved, none of us will be left out. The tracks, even if it is one, the cup of cold water, beloved, let us be even like a John the Baptist, recognizing we are not worthy even to unlatch the shoe lashes of the Lord Jesus' feet. And if we can just give a track, let's recognize we're not even worthy to give that track out. But if we can give it, let's know that he will give a reward for it. None of us should ever feel we are worthy to do anything for the Lord. But let's get on with everything we can for him. And thirdly, he says, he that testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. But he doesn't say anything more. There's the amen, even so come Lord Jesus. And what's the compensation? The compensation is himself. And I close my little expression with a little story from the World Wars. It's very beautiful. It was said that this young man engaged his lover before and suddenly there was the war, and he says to her, like, I'm going on to fight. Just like David in rejection, it's a time of war. The saints are being robbed by the enemy of food. We need to fight to feed the saints, beloved, like the Gideons. But this man went off to the war promising his beloved, I'm going to come back and I'm going to marry you. I'm going to definitely come back. After many months, after many weeks, after many, probably a year or two, nothing was heard of him. He'd gone off. And this young lady, she was being told by others, look, your fiance, he's dead, he's gone. And she says, I'm sure he says he's going to come back. She just believed in her heart that he was still alive. And then one day her parents really said, look, honey, you've been waiting long. It's time to abandon it. You need to look for someone else. And she said, look, mom, dad, give me just one more day. One more day. And she went up to her room and she took out her wedding gown and she put it on. And she took out his picture and she looked at it. And she took out all his love letters that he had written to her in the early relation, part of the relationship. And she sat down and she read those letters the last time. And she looked at that picture, all the love she could. And there in her wedding gown, thinking of her beloved, this last thing. Suddenly downstairs, there was a knock on the door. This man had returned from the war with his medals, with his reward. Like the Lord Jesus said, and my reward is with me. And his parents, the girl's parents for her. And they told her, she's up in the room. And he flew up the stairs, knocked on her door. And she got up. Open the door. There was her beloved. Oh, he says to her, oh, my sweetheart. I know you would be waiting for me. But I didn't know you would be so ready for me. Are you ready? Are you really ready? Beloved, the Lord Jesus is coming. Let's be ready, waiting for him. There's compensation, not just for the word, the understanding, and the wisdom. Not just for the work we're doing for him. Like that lady, she had done much to help with the war. But the greatest compensation is himself. To hear his voice. To see his face. And know the fullness of his grace.
I just want to come back to the thought of what should we do.
Where the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, he has no equal. In manhood, he is exalted above his fellows. As the Son of God, when the time come for him to take the throne, there is not one of his enemies that will be able to prevent him or to do anything to hinder his work, to hinder his position. What shall we do? The matter of prayer was emphasized, and how important is this? One of the things that has caused many of workers to lose the eternal reward are the things that are present. And I want to read a few verses in the 6th chapter of 1st Timothy. We opened up that scripture before, and I just want to take in this thought from about verse 10 of chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. While you turn in, I'll begin to read. The love of money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after they have erred from the faith and placed themselves through with many sorrows. Just before I go on, friends, loved ones, money doesn't bring happiness. And it should not be compared with the eternal rewards that has been spoken of. Because it caused more trouble than anything else. Some of the most unhappy people are rich people. But they spend their time worrying about who cheating, who doing what. In verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, the whole and eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed the good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quicken all things, and before Jesus Christ, before Pilate, Pontius Pilate, witness a good confession that thou keep the commandments without spot, unblameable unto the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is in his time shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of King and Lord of Lords. He is Lord. He is the King. And he is still, as we have been reminded, the rejected one. But oh, his throne is certain. He is going to He is going to come forth in mighty power. He said to Israel during the time of his rejection, he said, you will see the Son of Man coming, sitting on the throne of glory. And you know, something is said in the Revelation, every eye shall see him. And also in the Philippians, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is our Lord and we have bowed a knee to him. We have accepted him as God's man, as the children of Issachar did in relation to David. And the true David, our David, the Lord Jesus Christ, will soon have his rightful place. And you know, beloved friend, he wants that place in our hearts right now, and that we might serve him with gladness while we wait for him to come. Thank you.
And for our focus a little on helpers, experts, and teachers. In that verse, small of words, funny goes well as we pursue the thought.
Yeah, if we come to that verse 1, we find that there were helpers. Now, each one of us as believers in this time of conflict must be a helper in the world. I cannot afford to stand on the sidelines and watch what is happening. The Lord would have me personally to be involved. The Lord would have you personally to be involved. Every child of God is needed. But these were among the mighty men, helpers in the war. I come to verse 18. Again, the idea of help is brought before us. Verse 17. David says, if you become peaceably unto me to help me, my heart shall be knit unto you. But if to betray me to my enemies, seeing there is no wrong in my hand, the God of our fathers look and rebuke. In verses 21, 22, and so on, this idea of helpers. Beloved, we have to do our part on our knees. These are some of the tools that we have. These men were good with all kinds of instruments of war. What are the instruments of war that we have? We have the Word of God. We have prayer, and we have lives of testimony. Listen, when you as a believer, or I as a believer, live my life quietly in the presence of my workmate, a godly life, a Christian life, a life in which I am showing subjection to the Word and to the Lord, it is a powerful testimony to those who are looking on. The world knows very clearly when we are being phony. And when we are being real, someone told me a story only, I believe it was yesterday, that in their line of work, persons came in and saw them the way they behaved. And the person paused for a while. It was the first time that they had met this individual. And they said, are you a Christian? And the individual asked, no, why are you saying that to me? And so on. So we need really, but then we find in verse 33, verse 35, verse 36, expert in war. God has raised up leaders, as Brother Ashton began to pursue this line. Leaders in the assembly. The book of Hebrews says to me, obey your leader.
If I at any time foster in my heart rebellion against those who lead in the things of the Lord, remember, God himself is looking on, and God himself is going to record that I, instead of helping, I was a rebel. I should never be a rebel as a child of God. I should be a helper in the war. So this is very important. There were those expert in war, but then I come to the thought of peace. If you become peaceably unto me, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace, this is something that must characterize me as a child of God. My effort must be to carry on with the Lord's people in a peaceful manner. If I am a true friend and you are going wrong, I will tell you you are going wrong. But it's how I do it. I can do it quietly. I can do it sincerely. I can do it in love. This is the way it ought to be done. But the point is this. We need to be characterized by peace as the people of God. For the world is looking on. The angels are looking on. And they need to see me carrying myself with that dignity and with that peace, that unity that should mark the people of God.
Just to simulate thinking, well, the time has passed, but maybe we could think about it. I would like to some clarity on the idea of whether when something is an individual responsibility, when it is an assembly responsibility, and when it is a united or global responsibility. Collective, thank you very much. Collective responsibility. Because sometimes you ask for something to be treated as a collective responsibility and you're told, no, that's your concern. And I don't know the difference. So I'd like some clarity, some thought on that.
There are some verses I want to read. When it's individual responsibility, it brings us on the ground of lordship. When it's collective, it brings us on the grounds of headship. Okay? So it's a good guide for us when it comes to a servant stands or falls before his master. That's lordship. But then, as members of the body, we have to function under the headship of Christ. That's a truth we have to open up. Okay, so if you wanted to open up a little bit more, we could discuss that privately or openly. But I just want to read some verses in Luke's Gospel and chapter 12. Three words. And verse 35. Let your loins be girded about, and your light burning, your testimony. Why? Because it's night. Verse 36. And you yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And verse 35. Let your loins be girded about, and lights burning, your testimony, because it's night. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he knock it, that when he cometh and knock it, they may open unto him immediately. We have to have a waiting attitude. And we often say, waiting is not an action, it's not, you know, it's an attitude. It's not an action, just sitting down and waiting. It's an attitude. We are waiting for our Lord. Verse 27. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Real anticipation. Verse 43. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So we have waiting, watching, and working. Let's keep that up. Now, in light of the responsibility of the time in which we live, Psalm has been touching on the rewards. But we are responsible. Each one of us have been given, according to the scriptures, pounds, have been given talents. Every one of us responsible. Every one of us have been given something by our risen, rejected Lord. And now you find, am I going to work because, I know Sam is not projecting, I'm not going to work because I know I have a reward coming up. I'm working because of love for my Lord. I'm working because I've been delivered, I've been set free. And the reward, you find anybody who's working to an end, sometimes they really lose focus. It is a person, I am so occupied with him, and because I'm occupied with him, I'm going to be rewarded. That the men loved David. And you found these verses in 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, very well known to us. Chapter 3. And verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. What day? The day of display, the judgment seat of Christ. All of us are building. And we are going, our work is going to be tested what sort it was. So no matter if you hand out a tract, if you work in the kitchen or wash dishes, whatever it is, as long as you have done it for the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to be rewarded. But the fact remains, in chapter 4, my motive for doing what I did. And this is where chapter 4 and verse 5 comes in. 4 and 5. For I know not myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. But he says in verse 2, moreover it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not myself, my own self. So the matter is that come point in our Christian experience, as we work here, let's work for love for the Lord. Love for the Lord. You cannot, you will not be compensated here for the work you have done for the Lord. And I tell you, there are some brothers and sisters who work very hard. Very hard. And it's a thankless job. Don't look for thanks here. Do it all as unto the Lord. Amen.
Just one thought I want to share with the brethren. And John 13, verse 23. There was reclining on Jesus' breast one disciples whom Jesus loved. And beloved, we cannot do without knowing who we are. And oftentimes, because we act wrongly, because we don't know who we are as a person, John describes himself as one whom Jesus loved. And if we understand that with all the depths of our being, that I am loved by Heavenly Father, that I'm loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, it makes so much difference, and we begin to understand that love develops out of intimacy by leaning on the breast of Jesus. And it's from that starting point we begin to understand what is it the Lord desires of us. What does he want me to do? And beloved, once we understand who we are, that we are loved by him, that we are God's children, we are his sons, our position is an exalted one, we begin to see things differently. It doesn't matter what others tell us. Once we are convinced we know who we are, it makes all the difference.
I just want to attend to the other side of the question that was asked. When is something an assembly decision, and when is my personal decision? I think the personal part has been dealt with properly. Let me say, in relation to assembly decision, mean that all of us agree. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. You read that verse through, you would see how important it is there that we have to be in agreement before you can call any decision an assembly decision. Let me read the verse, and then our time is almost gone. Not almost, it's gone. So I'm just going to deal with this, and I think we will have to have respect for the time. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Sometimes things are left. Judgment that should have been taken is set aside because we are divided. And it is so sad when the word of God is clear in relation to any matter. But I just want to give you an example, and I'll take my seat humbly. In the 70s, we had to make a decision as an assembly in relation to buying the building that the brethren occupy for. It was leased for 99 years. And when, just before the lease expired, had I think about 3 years to go, the owner of the land wanted to sell us the building. And he asked a price, he gave a price, which in today's term is little as nothing. I think he was asking for about $1,000 or pounds, sorry, forget where I am, where I was there. He asked for £1,000. And one brother out of three said it was too much. One brother out of three said it was too much, and we leave the matter there before the Lord. He came back to us a little while after that and he offered it for £700. And there was total agreement among us. And so the property is now under brethren control. I'm not going to say anything about how much it worth today, because it's, the price there for houses is just crazy. Sorry for the poor, for the young people. Buying a property there is out of this world. And so assembly decision means that all of us are in agreement. Okay, as I say, our time is gone, and we have to bring this part of the meeting to an end.
Appropriate that as we conclude, that we can kindly have someone just re-echoing, maybe not all of the salient points, but just a few, so that persons who might have missed a thought can recapture that thought. I know we are working with time, but I think it's nice when we can have just a short summary of the various thoughts that were expressed. Thank you.
It's a day of conflict. David was anointed king but rejected. We live in this day where the Lord Jesus is exalted already as Lord. He is still rejected. The men in this world sent a message to the death of Stephen. We still don't want you. We live in a world where there is opposition. We are challenged to be faithful. At times there is timidity and fear. At times there is lukewarmness. But as we look to our true David, the passion of loving him, there were those who were willing to lay down their lives for the Lord Jesus. Today, in the West, we have not yet gotten there. At times, it's just a disdain by some friends. At times, it's a cold shoulder by friends. And even that, we are afraid to suffer. The challenge today is, as we love the Lord Jesus, as we live in this day of conflict, we know that we are serving the risen, glorified Lord. There will be reward. He will compensate the saints of God. But we labor because we love him. Our assemblies are weak and suffering. We will take up more of this. But let us encourage ourselves. Encourage each other. Because we can't lose. We cannot lose. Gideon said, we are faint yet pursuing. We cannot give up. The Lord help us in this day of conflict to be steadfast, to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know it, let us not lose heart and give up. Let us give thanks for the meal.